Psalm 103. Just going to read a couple of scriptures here. Get into the word of the Lord. Get in here and help us tonight, or today if you will. And we'll get in to see what the Lord will do for us. Psalm 103, verse number 1.
Yes, Jesus.
The Bible said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Yes. Could you stretch your hands this way and ask God to help us today? Lord, we do thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask that you touch us today. Lord, let the Holy Ghost have his perfect way in the house. Deal, Lord, with hearts, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen. If the Lord would help me this afternoon, I want to preach to us on benefits right now. Benefits right, now.
Yes.
Oftentimes, you know, we look down the road as Christians, and rightly so. We look forward into the future, into eternity, and we talk about how it will be worth it, and it certainly will be worth it.
Amen.
And that's completely accurate, and I preach and teach the same thing. You know, we sing songs like "Heaven will be worth the journey" and that type of thing, and I'm for all that. And that's certainly our blessed hope.
Yeah.
That's why we're living this way. That's the whole reason that we're doing what we're doing, is to get to heaven one day, to make heaven our home, and to get to eternity.
All right.
But I want to look at today on until we get there. Until then,
right?
What to do? Jesus said, "Occupy until I come."
Yes.
So we've got to live this life in order to get into the next life.
Yes.
We've got to have it right on this side in order to make it to the other side. And I want to look at that this afternoon. There are benefits that we can have right now while we're serving God. Blessings that we can possess and hold in our hands and
sure.
in our hearts
right.
in the moment that we're living in, serving the Lord. There are things that God has in store for his people that we can tap into right now. I want to look at the scriptures here that we just read. Verse number 3, he said, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Look at that line right there. God forgives all our iniquities.
Right
when
on.
You get saved, when you repent of your sins, how many knows that your sins are washed away? At the moment of salvation,
yeah.
when you repent and you go through to what we would have referred to, if you're maybe as a church-going person, old-time salvation. You ever heard that term?
Yeah.
When you go through and you pray through, you ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sin. He comes into your heart and he washes you with his precious blood.
Right.
And the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And at that moment of salvation, then all of your iniquities, all of your sin has been washed away, and you are forgiven right now. In that very moment,
Ooh,
at that very time, you don't have to wait. You don't have to do anything else but believe God for your salvation right now. You don't have to wait for a priest to intercede. You don't have to wait for an animal to be sacrificed. You don't have to wait until you go to purgatory and let your sins be purged out of you and your loved ones pray you out. No, it is not a waiting process, but all you have to do is come to an altar of repentance and lift your heart to God and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you save me from this life of sin?" And the Bible teaches us that he'll save you right now. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You can have salvation and have it right now.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Right.
We don't have to worry about getting to a judgment if you're saved. You don't have to worry about getting to a judgment and possibly being lost.
Come on, come on.
You don't have to worry about standing before God and maybe finding yourself in a devil soul's hell if you've been born again. Because the judgment has already taken place.
Uh-huh.
He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions from us.
Right.
But we know God does just not look over sin. He's not going to look over it. He's not just going to bypass it. So when did God judge sin? When will the child of God be judged for their sin? I'll tell you where God judged sin for the child of God. It was at Calvary.
Yeah.
On Calvary's rugged tree. On Golgotha's hill. God put the sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl who had ever lived and who will ever come after. He put the sin of them upon Jesus Christ. And as he hung there suspended between heaven and earth with the judgment of sin upon him, God let him suffer and die. And Jesus willingly laid down his life and he shed his blood on Calvary's tree so that you and I would not have to suffer the judgment for sin, for we could not pay it. There was a debt that I owed that I could not repay. There was something that I had between me and God that I could not get to him if I wanted to. But Jesus stood down out of heaven's glory and he said, I'll pay the price. I'll become the sacrifice. And on Calvary, God judged sin. Now when the child of God, when somebody comes to the Lord and repents of their sin, there is already a sacrifice. There is already a payment. And Paul said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Right now, there is no condemnation. It has been totally done away with. It has been totally obliterated. You can come to the Lord and stand up a saved saint because Jesus paid the price for your sin.
Amen.
Jesus made a way.
Amen.
We have forgiveness right now.
Yeah.
We have it in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. John Phillips said this on that scripture. He said there are no conditions attached to our freedom from condemnation. Grace writes an unconditional guarantee.
Right.
In other words, when you get saved, when you repent of your sin,
come on, man,
then all your past is erased. Everything that you've ever done is gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to go to bed fretting about it anymore. You don't have to worry about the things you've done, the things you've said, the places you've been. It's all been forgiven.
Nobody
has ever had to go back after the blood and repent for it again. Now that's not saying they don't have to repent for a sin they committed after.
Yeah.
But once a sin is forgiven, brother, it is forgiven. You do not have to go back and repent again. If God forgave it, it's forgiven. The devil would like to bring it up. The devil would like to bring it back in and say, you remember what you've done. But you just tell the devil, that's been forgiven. And God has cast it away. That word no right here in this scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation. That word no is a very strong and emphatic word. It means out of the question and completely terminated. Paul is saying for those who are in Christ Jesus, condemnation is out of the question. It has been completely terminated. And we can enjoy the freedom from sin right now.
Yeah.
We can enjoy that right now.
Amen.
We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait until next week. But you can leave here today free.
Yeah.
You can leave today free from your burden of sin. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood.
Hallelujah.
Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Can anybody testify to the power of the blood this afternoon? Can anybody raise your hand and say, I know it because I've experienced it for myself. There's wonder working power in the blood. The law of sin and death has been deprived of its power to bring believers again into bondage.
Come on.
And we enjoy that at this very moment. Look what the psalmist continued to say. He said, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4.
Come on.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction?
Right.
He redeemed your life. In other words, the scripture could be interpreted, from going to waste.
All
he
right.
redeemed your life
All right.
from going to waste.
Going
Ain't
to
that
waste.
Good?
Yes.
He takes our lives that, save for the mercy of God, would be unbeneficial, would be a complete waste. If it wasn't for the Lord, what good is life anyway?
Come on, man.
If we're not living to go to the next life,
woo,
what good is living life right now anyway?
Right.
If you had $1 million, but you didn't have the Lord, that's a waste.
Yes.
If you had all the riches that you could ever receive, but you died lost, that's a waste. But the psalmist said, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. He keeps it from going to waste. He keeps it from going to naught. He rescues us from damnation. And he crowns our life with loving kindness and with tender mercies. Hey, I tell you, I've seen many of people that their life was wasteful. They were living it in a wasteful way. But all of a sudden, they came to an altar somewhere, and God picked them up, and he kept them from going to waste, and he redeemed their life from destruction. How many alcoholics and drug addicts and people bound by sin have you saw? But Jesus came down. Brother Tommy, what if you had kept on doing the drugs? What if Jesus hadn't intervened? It'd have been a waste. But he's saving his life from destruction. He redeemeth us from destruction. Hey, I want to tell you here today, you don't have to be a waste. Your life does not have to end in destruction. But Jesus redeemed from destruction. There's a pastor in Texas.
Hallelujah.
He's a black man. He was from Baltimore. He said, my family was a typical Baltimore black family. He's the one that said that. He said, our home was about to be busted up. He said, most of the ones around us didn't have fathers in the home. The homes were so split up, living in the projects and things. He said, my family was going down the same path. My mom and dad couldn't get along. He said, but finally one day, he said, Daddy was a deacon in the church, but he wasn't even saved. He said, but one day, Daddy really got saved. He said, and he came home. He said, my mom didn't like him as a sinner, and she couldn't stand him as a saint. And said, our home just got even worse, it looked like. Said, Daddy would get up in the middle of the night because it was the only time he could have peace from his wife. Said he'd go downstairs and read the Bible through the night, and then he would go off to work, just trying to get along with God. He said one night about midnight, he had his Bible open on his lap downstairs. He said Mama walked down the stairs, and she stood in front of Dad's seat with big old tears coming down her eyes. She said, I don't know what's happened to you. She said, and I don't know what you've got. She said, but the meaner I've been, the nicer you are. She said, and whatever it is you got a hold of, she said, I want that. He said, Daddy got down on his knees and he prayed Mama through to old time salvation. He said, our lives made a drastic turn around.
Yeah.
We begin to live for God. He said, the Lord came into our house and he made him a very prosperous family. Why was that? Because he redeems our life from destruction. He picks us up out of the mire. He picks us up out of the muck of the world, and he establishes our going. Hey, I want to preach to you today. If you've been living life and you don't have any peace, if you've been living life and you don't see anything on the end, if you've been living life and you have no sense of direction, I want to tell you, there's one who redeems. I said there's one who redeems and who delivers your life from destruction.
Yes, he does.
There was a man from Michigan. Brother David Miller knew him, met him. He used to preach there back in the 80s a lot. And he met this man, and he said this man would get up and sing a song, Thanks to Calvary, I Don't Live Here Anymore.
Yeah.
He said that man would get up and sing. He said he was not much of a singer at all. And he said couldn't really even hardly carry a tune. But he said every time that man would sing that, He said the Spirit of the Lord would fall. People would weep and cry and Gideon. And he said, finally, one time, he said, after he got to know him pretty well, he asked him, he said, now, he said, you're a decent singer, and tried to say it nice. He said, but why does the Lord move like that every time you sing? He said, it was so noticeable. And the man began to cry, and he told Brother Miller, he said, I was an alcoholic. He said, I was drunk. He said, I was mean to my wife. I was mean to our little girl. He said, they hated to see me come home. He said, when I would come home, my little girl would hide behind the couch. I would beat on them. I was mean to them. And they lived up there right on Lake Michigan there. He said, I was out drunk one night, walking down through the streets of the city. And he said, I stumbled in front of a church building, a storefront there. He said, I could hear them singing on the inside. And they were singing, thanks to Calvary. I don't live here anymore. He said, I had a gun in my hand and I was going to take my life. He said, then the preacher got up and he was on the outside. He said, he began to preach on the prodigal son who come back home. He said, all of a sudden I stumbled into the back doors and I went straight to the altar. He said, and God instantly saved me and sobered me in the same moment. Yeah. He said, I left that church and I walked to the lake and I threw my gun in it and I walked back to my house. He said, when I got there, my wife was standing at the door with her own gun. My little girl was behind the couch. She said, you're not going to do it to us anymore. You're not coming in this house. He said, let me just tell you something. He got the words from them people before he left to that song, and he pulled it out of his pocket. He said, let me sing this song to you. And he sung the whole song, thanks to Calvary. I don't live here anymore. He said, by the time he was done singing, his wife had set the gun down. Tears were rolling down her face. She looked at her husband. She said, I've always loved you, and I still love you. Thank God he saved you. And she threw her arms around him, and they became a family that lived for God. And that little girl got a daddy back, and that wife got a husband back, and the husband got his family back. Why? Because he redeems. I said, he redeems your life from destruction. Yes. It's a powerful gospel.
Yes, Lord.
It can take the drug addict and turn them all the way around.
Sure.
It can take a sinner and wash them in red blood, make them whiter than snow. I think of Brother Russell McDonald. We've been talking about him. He's in Columbus today. Great man of God. But he was just a sinner. He was a policeman. He's told me before, and many times in his preaching and even personally, he said, my life was on the brink of disaster. He said, we had already signed divorce papers, but God saved me.
Yes.
God stepped in and saved him. And he became the Brother Russell McDonald that everybody knows today. He wasn't always that way, but God keeps our lives from going to waste. I'm going to finish this right here in my heart.
Come on.
Or verse number 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Look at this last part right here. Who redeemeth thy life? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who crowneth thee with, you know what it is to crown something? It's to adorn it, to make it beautiful.
Right.
It also passes about when you crown something. He takes us now from the pit of sin, puts us in the palace of salvation, and he crowns us with loving kindness and with tender mercies.
Right.
You know what those words are in English? Anybody, an English major in here, you know what those are? Those are called superlatives. In other words, it's above and beyond. It's what we might say overboard, if you will. It's more than we even expected. David said, he takes my life and he redeems it. He said, and then he crowns it over and above, more than I ever thought, with tender mercy and with loving kindness. In creation, God told the water, he didn't just say bring forth fish, but he said bring forth abundantly. Let it spring forth abundantly. When Moses and Miriam were singing their song of victory and they were giving their praise to God, they said that the Lord has triumphed gloriously. You know what they were saying? Over and above and beyond. God did more than I ever expected. God did more Yeah. He said, I have come that you might have life. And then he said, more abundantly.
Right.
That you might have life, and that more abundantly, over and above, above and beyond.
Yeah.
I tell you, God's got great things for you. I said, God's got great things for you.
Come on, man.
When I look back over in my life, I have to say I've been blessed superlatively. I've been blessed above and beyond what I could have imagined. Because God crowns your life. I said, God crowns your life with loving kindness and with tender mercy. Can I just preach to you right quickly here? I'm getting ready to close, but if you're here this afternoon and you're lost without God, I want to preach to you right quickly this morning that there is a God in heaven who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who will crown thee with loving kindness and with tender mercy. I said, he's right here. He's right here. He's just waiting on you to do what he, only he can do.
Right.
Can we stand all over the house?
Oh, Jesus.
Sister Perry, somebody want to get us a song, whoever, don't matter to me. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
If you're here today and you're lost,
come on, buddy.
I want you to know that God loves you.
Yes, he does.
That's right.
God's for you.
Yes.
God wants to save you.
Yes.
It's not his will that any should perish,
right,
but that all should come to repentance.
Yes, God.
But that all should come to repent. That's you. That's you. It doesn't mean just the person down the road, but you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's the beauty of the gospel,
right,
whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we bow our heads today, no one looking around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you're here this afternoon and you're not saved, would you just raise your hand and acknowledge, preacher, I need to be saved. God bless that hand. God's wanting to save this afternoon. How many believe God wants to save right here today?
Yes.
That's why he came.
Yeah.
That's why he came. That's why you're here. That's it. Come right on. Come right on.
Yeah.
Let's raise our hands, saints. Let's give God glory. Oh, yes. He's going to crown your life today. Ma'am, he's going to crown your life today with loving kindness, tender mercy. Let's gather around right here.